This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Friday, December 2nd, and this is a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host today as we have a conversation about Bahamian health. This is a continued conversation where we talk about the trends we are going through in terms of health inside the Bahamas and things that we should be looking for and things medically that we should be taking advantage of. And in order to help me with this conversation, actually, I have Dr. Suzanne Williams-Lockhart here again with me as we have a discussion, I guess, about women's health, because we had a discussion about diabetes, hypertension. We had a discussion about men's health. We had general health in general. And I said, hey, let's talk about women. Yeah, and I, like I said, what I should know about women, I'm not sure if you know. My mother was a woman. Yeah. My wife is a woman. And my child is, yeah, she's female too. So I should know one or two things about women. And I want to know, in your practice, right, what do you see as something that Bahamian women tend to come and see you about? Something that we should be looking out for and say, hey, women, this is a trend. We need to concentrate on this and find solutions to solve that. So in your practice, go ahead, Dr. Lockhart.
Well, listen, C.A., first morning, good morning, Bahamas. And it's so nice to be here back with C.A. He is so full of energy. I don't know, and I don't know where he gets all the energy he has from, but it's a great thing. And health overall, I always say, is not just the absence of disease. It is a state of well-being where you're in tune with yourself, with your environment. You're doing the things that you are passionate about, and you're being well rewarded for them as well. So health is something that we strive towards. For Bahamian women in particular, they are afflicted and upset by the general health conditions, because many of the same diseases we talked about with the men are also those lifestyle, we call them chronic non-communicable diseases, that are going to also affect and afflict the woman as well. So diabetes, hypertension, high cholesterol, these are some of the things that we deal with. But for women especially, and I know we just came out of that month of October, which is designated and set aside for breast health and breast health care. And I believe we had a bit of a conversation about that when we spoke in October. But for Bahamian women in particular breast health, our concerns about breast cancer, those are some of the things that we see a lot. And people would come and say, you know, well, I had this issue. These are some of the situations that concern us. And we, you know, the last month, and I really congratulate a lot of the diagnostic facilities, a lot of the practitioners, a lot of the different specialists that we have, because they really, I think, try to make women more aware about some of these things and issues. Now, one of the important points to note is that the same chronic non-communicable diseases, diabetes, hypertension, high cholesterol, they also have a link in, and they also have a tie-in as well to an increased risk and increased incidence of breast cancer. So this is one of the things that we have found, right, that when you look at it, and then we have that genetic, we talked about, I think, the BRCA1 and the BRCA2 genes, and I think people covered those extensively as well. But we have a genetic predisposition. It was found that in the Bahamas, up to 25% of the breast cancers, these were studies done at the University of Miami and some other places, actually have a genetic trail to them. And we know that there are some cancer, quote-unquote cancer families, in some of the island communities, Eleuthera, Andros, some here in Nassau as well, where you'll find the mummy, the Grammy, the aunts, the cousins, the sisters, and everyone like that. So I hope everybody went ahead and did have their breast self-examination. Everybody went ahead and did get, you know, their mammography done as well, you know, and that people check on those things on a regular basis. That is one of the factors that we need to look at. But then also, as I said, the underlying and the underpinning of any nation's health is the degree and extent of how are we dealing with the chronic diseases? Now, COVID was a sort of infectious disease. It was acute. It came up. It was something that swept through the population. But one of the things that we have to understand is when you have these chronic diseases, diabetes, hypertension, high cholesterol, obesity, you have a sort of, how shall I put it, it's like a smoldering tinder. It's like when I lived in Andrews, they would say, you know, that during the time that the bushfires would come, the low-lying bushes, they would keep the heat and they would have this smoldering situation going on. So that any time a spark came or somebody threw a bottle or someone lit a fire or tossed a match, then it would catch up and you would get this big conflagration because now you had that smoldering tinder. It's the same thing concerning the health here in the Bahamas, right? Definitely. That when you have conditions as diabetes, hypertension, these chronic diseases, you have inflammatory, a pro-inflammatory state, and that always makes it more likely that you will get any other situation, and more likely, secondly, that, you know, for cancers and other scenarios to occur for you. So we have to still go back and focus on those things, I say. That's one of the things.
And usually, women tend to take their health more seriously than men, because men terrify the doctors in general. They're terrified of needles.
Yes, so women, most of the time, women will go and get there. I found that, you know, coming down to the end of the year, there were some health fairs that I did here and in some of the other islands that I traveled to. And you'd find that women would come to get their physicals done, they'd come to get their pressure taken, their sugar done, you know, their cholesterol, their blood work, to get themselves examined and checked out as well also. So women tend to be a little bit more on the ball as far as that is concerned. So they do hopefully pick up diseases faster. And that's one of the reasons why women have a longer life expectancy than men in many cases, because they deal with situations before they have a chance to develop.
Yeah, see? Men wait till the last minute and say, hey, doctor, I feel like I died. And in fact, you are. Mm-hmm. And then too late then.
Too late at that point in time to do anything about it. But those factors, those things as well. Some of the other things, and my gynecological colleagues deal with those things pretty well. Some of the cancers of like with cervical cancer and uterine cancer. Now, cervical cancer, there's a screening situation for that, the pap smear. And again, everyone should know the direction of their physician, have a pap smear done every year. Or 2 years.
And let's pause there, right? In terms of what women should be checking for. And mind you, I don't know the difference between a male's physical in regards to a female physical, right? I'm considering that if a, give me age, a 21-year-old woman, I would start at that age. 21, you know, she's just getting her independence. She has her own apartment, so she's living as an independent woman. When she goes to her doctor, what should she be checking for? What should the physical should be about?
So she should have the normal checks, which would be things like her blood pressure, her temperature, her glucose, and, you know, those type of things. But then she should have a special check to be done on things like her breast. Again, she's 21, but you want to look at that. Her reproductive health here is important, because at 21, she's probably thinking, if she hasn't had a child, thinking of having, you know, one. So that is what should be checked. And also, as we said, she may be sexually active at that age, and she has a relationship, so definitely a pap smear to ensure that there are no changes. Because some of the diseases that you can get, some of these sexually transmitted diseases, especially HPV, a viral infection, human papilloma virus, HPV, can cause cancerous changes as well. So you want to do the pap smear, and we call it a bimanual examination, where she has a pelvic exam, where, you know, where the doctor can feel the inside organs, you know, look, feel where the ovaries are, feel the uterus, feel the bladder, to see if at all is well. And then on the direct visualization, they can look at the cervix to ascertain what it looks like, and they can take a specimen or a scraping from it to see, you know, are there any cells that are different or that are changed at that point in time. So that's the focus. Normally at 21 years of age, you would expect things like blood pressure, other situations like that to be good. One important scenario is that of nutrition, because you will find that many women at that age group, they have a problem with low iron levels, anemia. And when you look back at it, it is the diet that they are eating. You know, I know I have an 18-year-old, and some days I'll say, well, what did you eat? She's in college. I say, what did you eat today? Ramen noodles and hamburger.
Well, I eat ramen noodles and hamburger in college.
Yes, but the thing is, when you do that, remember now, young ladies are losing blood in their menses every month.
Ah.
And so they become anemic, you know, so you have to check that out. And then even when you talk about fast food, you know, they give you one piece of lettuce that looks kind of green, okay, but it really doesn't have much nutrients in it. So many young ladies, they should be taking an iron supplement if they the food that they're eating is not up to standard. And then also because you're getting ready to maybe have that reproductive situation, you need to make sure that your vitamin B and folic acid levels are in good shape. Because those vitamins are needed to ensure that if you have a baby, the various systems, especially the brain and the spinal cord, develop well. You see?
And let's talk more about that. This 21-year-old, 21 to 25, that age bracket. Then we go to a different age group, right? I'm thinking that in high school, you were active in terms of sports. When you eat salty food, you sweat it out, you know? So at 21, you're in university or have one office job someplace. You're not exercising as much, right? You mentioned iron supplement, right? What exactly does the iron supplement do for 21, 25?
Because what happens, you'll tend to find if you're anemic. So, okay, I should have explained it a bit. We have what I call it the bad diet, the Bahamian all food diet, where we eat anything and everything that we like eating. And because we are a fairly wealthy country, even though things are tough, we still have access to a lot of processed foods that we would not otherwise have if you didn't have money to be able to get it. But processed foods are low in nutrition. So as a whole, we tend to have issues where our nutritional profile is not necessarily optimal. So you need iron. Iron is one of the important components of hemoglobin. It's what makes the red blood cells red. Mm-hmm. You know, the same way it is if you left a piece of iron out by the seaside, after a while you'll find that it's rusty because we'll say, oh, the oxidization. Well, it's the same thing. The iron in the red blood cells is needed so that it can catch the oxygen in the bloodstream. When we breathe in air, we're breathing in oxygen. The air is 21% oxygen. And the oxygen, it is only going to be able to be carried in the bloodstream through this reaction with iron in the hemoglobin of the red blood cells. If you don't have enough iron, then you don't have enough oxygen going to your body. Now, oxygen is very important. It's the equivalent. The best sort of picture that I can compare it to is like an air filter in the car. You know, you need oxygen you need air to go with the gas so that you can get that combustion, right? If you do not have enough oxygen coming into the body, then you're not going to be able to break down and metabolize your food in the right way. And when you do break down the food, you're going to get a lot of acid being produced. So people get a condition of anemia. When you have anemia, it means that your hands are pale, you know, your eyes are pale, you feel weak, you feel tired. Sometimes they may fall out, they may collapse, because if you don't get enough oxygen going to the brain, then the body puts you horizontal so that the blood can get
there. Is that a reason why like 21-year-olds, women tend to sleep a lot? Like, oh, I'm tired, I'm going to sleep?
When they get tired, I mean, to say the thing is when you're 21, remember when we were 21, now see, we used to be running hard, right?
Yeah,
you know, you're partying in the day, 4 o'clock in the morning is your normal time to come home. I think I was in medical school and I was 21 and there were some establishments around. I was in Barbados, I think, at that time. And basically, you party until 4 o'clock in the morning. You go to class, you go to the hospital. You got to come back home and rest and sleep. Mm. But your body also needs to be able to have the energy. And it also needs to be able to have the energy to do all the things you want to do, you know? So they'll rest. But that means if you find that you're tired excessively, you're dragging, you know, you're not feeling the best, then maybe go check your iron.
Check your iron.
Yeah, and maybe you need an iron supplement. And maybe you need to, before an iron supplement, make sure that your diet, you know, things like liver, it doesn't taste the best, but things like liver, dark green leafy vegetables, right?
Mm-hmm.
Those sort of things are what you would utilize to help you. And with iron, you must also take adequate supplies of vitamin C as well, because you need vitamin C in order to absorb the iron into the body well.
Mm-hmm.
So people who do nice salads, they'd put like they'd put like nice arugula, or they'd put the kale, or they'd put the spinach, and then you'd put some you know, pieces of orange or tangerine or something like that, or you put lemon juice over it. So that's a good way of getting that combination. But to be honest with you, most 21 years old that I know like crack conch and crack chicken.
Yes.
They're not ready too much.
And they have people who buy them the crack conch.
Yes,
that's their daily. You know, they can get the good lobster and thing.
Yeah.
But now let's move to 30, 35. You have one child.
Right.
You're working hard now. You know, instead of the 7.5 hours, you're working about 9 to 12 hours, you know. What should women be doing at age, and let me extend it, 35 to 40?
Yeah, maybe. So now you're going into the age and stage. You're not longer young. You're looking at now, you're building, you're developing. As you said, you're working hard now. But the hustle and the burn and the grind is on the job or the career or, you know, what you're doing. Or maybe some women who don't, they're home, taking care of home makers, home takers. You're putting out a lot of energy still, right? There's a lot of things you're doing. You're multitasking at this point in time, right?
I'm adding it to this narrative. This lady has put on some weight now, baby fat.
Right. So okay. Now that's the thing. So now you're talking about you may find the pressure is creeping up, or you may find the diabetes, you know, the sugar may be creeping up, or you may find the cholesterol may be creeping up. So at this stage in age, again, attention to diet and nutrition is key, right? That you want to make sure that when you're taking food in, that it is good whole food that is going to be nutritive. So instead of maybe having the large French fries with salt, which oh, I have to confess, I'm a French fry junkie mm-hmm, myself, mm-hmm. maybe do a baked potato or a sweet potato, right? Maybe instead of having the 3 pieces of that greasy fried dung chicken that you get and putting the ketchup and the hot sauce mm-hmm, over mm-hmm. it. Maybe
the mayonnaise on the crack conch.
Yeah, you know, concentrate and focus upon having a piece of grilled. So you have to take time and attention for yourself because this is the age, I think, when many women sort of, quote unquote, lose themselves. When I say this, they are so invested in the job, the kids, the family, there's no time for them. And so this age is when certain conditions and complications could sort of slip away and then you're not aware of them until it comes up as a big thing sometime later. So this is a time you have to be very intentional. So you have to decide you're going to run, you're going to take time to exercise.
I just was going to mention that flippantly, people say, okay, why don't you exercise? But don't they be a woman around with 30, 40? They're too busy to exercise.
But you know, that's the thing. You're too busy not to. That's what I would say. You know, I was staying out at the eastern end of the island, and it was really beautiful. But I saw these people. But what I noted was that many of the people who were walking were people over 40, 60, the people who were retired. So I'm saying, well, okay, maybe they have the time. I say, but if you do not start doing something, you may not get to the point where you can get to retirement time and age. So exercise doesn't have to be that you get in the matching leotards and go to the gym. You know, exercise can be you put a pedometer, which is something Pacer, or go to some other app. I mean, you know, you can look it up and see, right? Maybe somebody'll get a Bahamian one and we can advertise it. They'll pay us, right? But you know, you get an app, a pedometer, which counts how much you walk. And there's a study that shows that if you walk at least a minimum of 6,000, maximum, ultimately, if you walk from 10,000 to 12,000 steps a day, you will decrease. This was a guy out of University of Miami, I remember, from Cleveland Clinics. About 2 years ago, I did a talk with him, an international a conference we had on Zoom, talking about the health conditions and how. And he said he studied it. It helps your heart, it helps your sugar levels, it helps everything if you can commit to that. So you may not be able to start to take 12,000 steps, you know, at one fell swoop. That's about 3 or 4 miles a day. But you can do 6,000, you know. In the morning, you could get up and stand up in place and walk. When you go to the bathroom, you could walk in place. You know, that's 500 or 1,000 steps. When you're at work, instead of getting on the phone and calling, you could get up and go from point A to point B. You know, you could walk. You have to be deliberate. Take the elevator instead of, take the stairs instead of the elevator. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So you now, do those things.
So I'm now switching age group. I'm at 45 to 55, right? And then put the narrative in. This woman has maybe adult children, maybe like 16, 17-ish, right? But her cycle is now changing, right? She's kind of moody with men who say, man, this woman always miserable, you know, complaining for no reason, right? Let's say that she have flashes, hot flashes, you know, change in life in general. Right? What should she be doing around
at
this
age? At that stage. So, okay. So around this stage, she is now getting ready to transition, right? I always say to transition you from the bubbly champagne, and I call it into the fine wine, you know, because I'm at that stage right now. Mm-hmm. You know?
Just sweating for no reason.
No, I don't sweat.
You don't sweat?
No.
Oh, you're lucky, man.
No, man. So what you, and sometimes we do, you know, because at first, you know, it was like, and you know, the thing about it is, this, because you're talking about the change, you know, menopause, where mm-hmm. the cycle is stopping, you're having those hormonal changes. I always say, men, I used to tell my late husband, I say, men have one hormone, that's testosterone. Yeah. Men have two. Mm-hmm. One hormonal cycle, that's like on the straight. Every month, we are like up and down.
Yes.
The hormone cycle, that's what happens. When you're pregnant, the hormones are cycling. So I think when you're getting to the point of menopause, for some women, it's like a bit of a relief, to be honest with you. It's like, okay, no more baby. We don't have to worry about that. Mm-hmm. We're going to get ourselves to a stage where we don't have to worry with the feminine products and stuff like that, mm-hmm. whatever it was at any point in time during the month time as well. But going into it sometimes can be a bit rough because your body now has to have you having actually withdrawal symptoms, quote unquote, from these hormones. So you have all the things that you realize. And some women say anything that bad and affect women, it starts with men. Yeah. Right? Menstruation, menopause, right? You know, right? This is the thing. And so what you will find is that you have to sort of like prefigure what it will be. And you have to support yourself. Now, whether it is with food, whether it is mentally, this is a time where those hormones have an effect and an influence upon your brain. We didn't talk about it, but some women have PMS, premenstrual cyclo syndrome, where the shifting of the hormones when they're younger actually causes psychotic changes.
Can you explain that to me? What do you mean by psychotic changes? Like shouting at me for no reason?
No, no, you probably hit the woman.
I ain't confessing nothing. I'm just saying.
If you shout at angry. You, she probably have a reason to get angry at you, see.
I didn't put down the toilet seat in there. Things like that.
Yeah, because then we drop inside and we could touch our parts in the toilet
water. You're supposed to look before you sit.
Ah, Lord, anyway. Listen to me.
Go ahead.
But no, the situation is that these hormones affect your brain. They affect you neurologically, and they're meant to, because that's how come women attach to kids and their family and everything else like that. So without those hormones, you would not have the loving mother and the person who's protective and everything else like that. There's two sides to it. But when the hormones are shifting at the time, so we're talking now, we're going back a little bit, when mm-hmm. the hormones are shifting at the time of the younger woman, some women, that shift just, you know, they get moody, they can't stand stuff. There was a case of a woman, the husband asked her, you know, what was her breakfast that morning? He said eggs, and he said, I don't want eggs, and she took up a knife, she stabbed him.
See?
Yeah, but she mm-hmm. got a, she was seen, and she was known to have that very sort of acute, and I'm exaggerating that a bit. But you can't have those changes, so you have to know that when that is happening, you support yourself, you know? Maybe you don't take on a lot of other projects. Maybe you make sure that you rest enough, sleep enough, drink enough water, do the things you need to do. Energy is important at that point in time. So likewise, jumping forward right now to the woman who is the, 45, 55, I think that's where we are. So she is shifting too. The hormones are coming away. So you're going to find those changes. You may have a bit of a brain fog. You may find there may be some forgetfulness. I believe strongly in the power of vitamin B complex.
Just going to ask you, what should they be taking?
Yeah, man, vitamin B complex. I think everyone does vitamin B complex and folate is important for the teenage to the young lady because she's thinking about her reproductive years then.
I can pause you there because I want the audience to hear this properly. What all vitamins should women in general be taking? And maybe do the different ages brackets right. again. Go ahead.
So vitamin B complex all the way throughout. Because in the younger woman, you need that for our reproductive health as well. And then also you need it as well too because you need vitamin B. A type of vitamin B is needed. Folate is needed to build the red blood cells which you need, which gives you energy and oxygen. That's important. In the woman in the middle stages, the 25 to 35, she needs energy. Without enough vitamin B, certain types of vitamin B, the cells cannot release energy from the food, right? The cells cannot get the energy out of the food that they need as well, right? So you need vitamin B in that stage to do it. In the older ages, vitamin B also has a regulatory component on the brain, okay? It helps the brain cell, brain function. And that's why some people, a lot of time people who are alcoholics, because when you drink alcohol, it's very sweet and sugary, you drink a meal. And this is why they get neuropathies, problems with the nerves and with the brain and dementia and other things like that. And again, vitamin B is key, vitamin B complex. So it's because vitamin B is a series of chemicals and different things. You have vitamin B1, B2, B6, B12. You know, there are many different ones you have. But a complex formulation, I think, is the best one. You must have vitamin C. Vitamin C, and again, you can get vitamin B from things like if you eat meat and eggs and other things like that. But, you know, in many cases, unless you are going to have a fully all-round and grounded diet, I also believe in supplementation. That's just what I tell people. You need to eat 5 to 9 servings of fruit or vegetables a day to get your adequate amount and fruit and vegetables that are grown in the right way, the right situation.
Just actually give me examples of some fruits and vegetables.
Well, so what you would want to fruits and vegetables. Generally speaking, you want to eat. I always tell people you want to eat that rainbow. You want to eat that so dark green leafy vegetables, mm-hmm. right? Are what you're going to want to have as well, right? You want to eat that rainbow of food. And things like your ground provisions as well, you know, those are the things that you want to eat. So I'm talking about normally when you have those bright colors, which are helping to attract bees and insects, those bright colors also means to say that you have those vitamins and those phytonutrients, nutrients from plants that are present in them as well, right? So you want to eat that rainbow of food and vegetables, so lettuce and spinach and tomatoes and beets and corn and avocado and mangoes and bananas and everything in balance as well, also too, right? And you want to try to eat food in as natural a state as is possible. So instead of the French fries, cut up the potato. Better still, even grow the potato. You know, I was in the food store yesterday, and I'm really sorry for the grocers. I'm not getting to that. Yeah, but we were looking at the price of eggs. Mm-hmm. One gentleman, when we came up to the egg carton, two of us sort of jumped back when mm-hmm. we saw the price.
And
the man said, well, listen, I can start laying my own eggs. That's what I can do now, right? But I'm thinking we have to, because, and that's a condition we can talk about, because finances also affect health and nutrition. But I think you have to make a commitment that you're going to try to eat food in as natural the state as it's possible. Doesn't mean you don't do thin things, but the less process, the less chemicals on it, the better it is. It takes time to do that and to prepare that food, though, right?
And Doc, I know I haven't reached a 60-year-old range yet, right? But I want to talk about birth control for young, middle-aged women. No, middle-aged, whatever. 25 to 35.
So therefore, there are hormonal contraceptives that you can take. There are many formulations that you can. So some people don't want to utilize that, you know, religious reasons, whatever it is. They may say, okay, abstinence. Well, you have to make sure about what you're going to be doing with that. But young people, especially now, sometimes that may not be all. You have to give them at least information. Mm-hmm. For young women, there are the female condoms that you can use, you know, but sometimes, again, in the heat of the moment, who's mm-hmm. going to deal with that, mm-hmm. right? So hormonal therapies are thought to be a bit better, right? So hormonal therapies normally are more useful when you are younger, and it's a combination normally of the female hormones, the estrogen and the progesterone. And it's done in such a way that you give them external hormones, so you shut down the body's production of it. And as a result of shutting the body's production down, you don't get the cycle that produces the egg to be fertilized every month. And it does some other things with that. Some people, as I said, if they have that issue with the mental situation with menstruation, they may also give them some sort of mild. They may also put in the birth control some sort of mild mood elevator or mood regulator as well. Mm-hmm. You can get those; are available. The other thing that you have, which might be helpful, I mean, condoms for the men, but you have to, again, think about that, and that may not always be functional. So some women may opt to use, as we said, there are other hormonal things. You have implants. There are some implants that you can have that sometimes for 3 to 5 years, you know, you don't have a cycle or you're not able to get pregnant. Mm-hmm. There's a birth control shot, the Depo injections, which last for 3 months. Those, I think, are probably more bang for the buck. You know, they're longer lasting. You just go get your shot every 3 months. And for some, especially for parents, you know, parents of young adults, you know, both male and female, you know, young kids, they experiment sometimes regardless of what you say. You want them to be safe and protected.
And what would you recommend for inner city youth? Again, the same age bracket, 21 to 35, who find themselves
in situations. Yeah. I would say probably you want to, because, you know, you may not always think about that. I say you probably may want to talk to your provider or your gynecologist. And one thing with the government has clinics where you can get those things and without having to spend a great deal of money, right?
So, okay, I can pause you there because you said the government has clinics. Say I'm 16, 17, still in school. I'm sexually active, right? I want to protect myself. And every so often, I forget the condoms or the contraceptives like that. But I want some kind of injection. Can I get that without telling my mommy? Because mommy ain't gonna let me get it.
Well, I think, you know, sometimes I think parents need to really sit down. And I'm not, everybody is different, right? And I'm telling you this straight up, right? Because you have to sit down and figure out for yourself, okay, do you want the consequences of a baby? Mm-hmm. Do you want the consequences of illness and disease? Do you want to have to deal with having to have an abortion? Are you going to sit down and have that real discussion with the child? Why are you doing what you're doing? There are always reasons. And sometimes it's just young people think the way they do. I don't know, to be honest with you, if at 16 you go to the clinic without the parent, they will give you something. I don't know if legally they're allowed to do that before the age of 18 or so. I'd have to check on that for you. But I certainly think if you were to go, they could at least give you advice. And in some cases, you might. Right? Because I know in the U.S. definitely you can get that. They'll give it to you from the time you're 13 years of age. I don't think we're that advanced as yet. So I think it's always a good idea for the young lady to have those. But I think things like condoms and other situations like that, protective devices, barrier methods, so-called, you can get those. Now, as you said, those may not always be useful. If a young person is determined, like the inner city people you're talking about, and they are determined they're going to go, then probably the best way is to get them the injection. And either the teacher or the mother, the auntie, even you may not agree with that. You understand what I'm telling you? You may not agree with that personally or from a religious or from a spiritual perspective. But you're sitting down saying, you know something, these kids are out there. They have to be protected. What are we going to do? And sometimes some kids have issues where they don't catch themselves until they get 20.
Yeah.
Do you want them catching themselves with two or three little ones in tow? Because for a woman to get pregnant and to have pregnancy, whether you continue it or whether you don't, that has serious consequences for you at a later stage in age. You see what I'm saying?
So off the record, off the medical field you're in, would you support a guidance counselor, watch me set you up, taking a young 14-year-old, I like that age, 14-year-old, to a clinic and say, hey, man, you need to get on the shots because I see you. I see what you're doing and look like your mother isn't going to do this. And would you support a guidance counselor and say, hey,
you see, the thing
you
is,
carry this child and put this child on the short.
You see, because some people might look and say, well, why you want to do that now? You see, you put yourself into that. But that's why you have to have laws and regulation. And when family structures break down, it is so difficult. I understand because you may want to do that because, you know, you're concerned. You see the writing on the wall. You see 16 and baby and no high school degree and everything else like that. But the situation is there. When you do those same things, it's like now the parents say, well, who tell you to give my child that? Why you see my child doing that?
Yes.
You know, why? Who? What makes you feel? You trying to put her up or set her up or something like that? Maybe you trying to be with her or put your family with her or something like that, and you want to hide what could potentially happen. You know, so that is something I think a lot more discussion needs to be had on. But certainly, I think your first thing is to talk to young people about it. Some young people, they tell you they didn't know about the period until it came, and the mommy tell them or the daddy tell them. Well, no, talk to young people.
Yes.
From the time, you know, an age-appropriate discussion. But I think you say this is what the situation is. These are the choices that you're going to have to make. Some of these choices, see, I didn't have to make them. Some of the things these young people have to deal with now wasn't wrong when I was, when you and I were, you know, coming up and doing what we had to do. You know, so I always say you have to, I think, communication and education so that even at that age, you can make some sort of choice for yourself. And even if you're 14, a little girl 14, and you know, you're kind of tipping out to your boyfriend, there's somebody should be talking and saying, listen, yes, okay, you're doing that, but these are the things that could happen. And even the situation, if someone is on a contraceptive method, it does not stop sexually transmitted diseases. It doesn't. So there are five these viral diseases that you don't, you know, HIV, herpes, hepatitis B, hepatitis C, and HPV. When you get it, you basically, in the U.S., it's to a point right now where I think in the 16 to 25 age group, 10 or 50, 20% of them have it. And it's to a point where right now people have to date according to the disease that they have. So if you have HIV, if you have hepatitis B or C, you only can date with somebody who have hepatitis B or C because you don't want to give it to another person who may not. So those are long... If you tell young kids that, my children tell me, they say, mommy, you were so bad. I say, oh, you mean I was bad? They say, mommy, you know, when they started showing them about, you know, the condoms and different things like that in school and the brightly colored condoms, I say, oh, you all, they're showing you all that? Let's take it a step further. I say, that's great, but let's go a step further. Let's say you put on the condom and the condom bursts or it breaks, or let's say you forgot or you didn't put it on properly. Let's see what happens to Jimmy and Jane when, and I went and I showed them the pictures. My children told me, they say, mommy, you were so mean. I showed them all the pictures of what it looked like. I said, no, but you have to know. Very often we are seeing it in this very sort of, you know, polyamorous mode. No, there are consequences. And I said, you go and you have a baby, whether you are male or female, you know, before you are ready economically and financially, emotionally and spiritually equipped to deal with it, you do some things to your life. You know, and this is the thing. So I think a lot of it, we tend to sit down and say, and in our society, we tend to be very religious, you know. And I'm a kingdom citizen. I believe in God, His love and power. But listen to me, the Bible do plenty of things that don't keep you warm in your bed at night. Right? This is what I say. So you have to have strategies, and you have to give young people strategies for the situations that they are going to arise, they're going to come up with. And when we don't do it, that's when we end up having some issues. But getting back to the scenario with the... So we have to... I did not talk about that, so I'm glad you brought that point up, because for young people of that age, you have to get information. There are some things that you can use. I think for young women, convenience of a shot or an implant, not everyone can use those things. Also remembering that if you are using those those hormonal methods, it does not stop you from getting STDs. You have to still protect yourself or move very carefully. I remember reading a bit of what Steve Harvey was saying, you know, act like a woman, think like a man. He was telling women, you know, you all give it up and then you all always cry and boo-boo this and he leave you. He said, you know, he said 90-day rule. He says for 90 days, do nothing with anyone. Mm. You know, now I don't, that might be in America. I don't know how that works here. But I thought that that was a good thing. Because you look at the, I always ask the young ladies, because I used to talk with younger, I say, you would give that boy your gold chain, not my gold chain, not my good ring. I say, but you're giving your body for a bag of chicken. Where's the value system there?
Hungry bellies cost you to do all kinds of
strange
things.
Yeah, you know, so you have to really, that people talk about the education, the educating the wrong head. Yes. It's not about that. You have to educate what is between your ear, so that you understand why. And if you talk to young people, and young women must have a plan and evaluation for themselves where they are going, yes. Right, whether with their partners or not. I had a very strong father. My mother died when I was 9 years old, and my mm-hmm. father was the one who told me, he said, child, he said, listen to me. He says, some men are good men. He said, but some men, they will leave you either through debt or through their own selfish desire, their own disability, their own corruption. He says, I am a man. He says, you have to be prepared as a woman to equip yourself so you can take care of any children that you may choose to have. Mm. And that was something my father told me. I think I wasn't even 15 years old. You know, he told me that, and that stuck in my mind. So I started framing myself and saying, okay, I know I may have to have kids. I didn't have kids until I was 38 years old.
He's a woman old? I mean, a matured woman?
Yeah, I was mature. I was, you know, able to handle, and still, you know, I was still kind of like, oh, Lord. But you have to have a plan, and this is what I find with the women. But many times, because of the family in crisis, especially after COVID, no one is talking to the young girls like that. Mm. And they are just trafficking themselves because they look good, they look sexy, they can get stuff. You know, they get a sugar daddy. I had a seminar with a young engineer out of South Africa, solar engineer, awesome girl. And she said when women do certain things, they can bankroll themselves. She said, you don't need a sugar daddy. If you get yourself together with your career and what you're doing, you can bankroll your trips, everything you need. So we need to do that. That's also an important part of health, because if you have a framework, why are you taking care of yourself if you don't value yourself? Mm-hmm. A framework is that I am valuable, I have value in this, and I'm going to plan my life because I deserve to have a life that is planned. And like I told my daughter, I say, you don't see the Mona Lisa standing on the street corner talking to homeboy by the car. Diamonds and rubies and Tiffany pearls are precious. They're rare. Mm-hmm. Things that are rare are not all over the place. So why should we have our young girls all over the place in little piece of clothes? Some days I see them, I say, oh, there she between oh Lord and thank God, mm-hmm. right? Because mm-hmm. she stand up as oh Lord, she bend over as thank God, right? Right? You know, so we have to do those things as well. Yeah. But we were talking about the vitamins. So I think vitamin B, vitamin C is a powerful antioxidant, helps with colds and flus and other things like that, right? Mm-hmm. Vitamin D for boosting and building your immunity, okay? Vitamin E is a good one for skin and for some other essential purposes as well too. But you also have to have, along with those vitamins, some of the minerals that you need. And iron is one of them, zinc, right? Selenium, again, antioxidant and helping your immune systems functioning, okay? And magnesium and copper. Those are minerals, or those are trace elements that you have. And what you find is that when you eat food from the ground, you know those ground provision? Because these things come from the ground, you know. When you look at it, all of the things that are beautiful and pretty are coming out from the ground, having been processed. So when you eat the food from the ground, you find that you're going to have a higher uptake and an uptake of getting these minerals and food in place. Nature has them put there for you naturally and normally. So that is what should happen. But getting back to the woman and the ages, we talked about the 21 to 25. We went back to deal with the reproductive health. Mm-hmm. 25 to 35, you have to start exercising and setting a framework to be serious about taking care of yourself, be intentional of it. With your eating, with your exercising, it may not be that you go to the gym, but you got to walk. You got to do something. I have a pair of small 2-pound weights that I can carry and train my person carry. When I go to the bathroom, I can do 5 minutes of a full body workout, right? And I tell you, you know, go onto my website on Facebook.
Give it to me.
Capriata Health and Wellness, CAPRIATA, Capriata Health and Wellness. If you look it up, you'll see it. If you go search it, do a Google search, you'll see it. We do have some strategies that will assist you and help you with that as well, because I believe that is the basis and impetus of having good health, right?
And before you continue, let's take a short commercial break here so we can continue the conversation uninterrupted.
Okay.
This is Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri, and I'm talking to Dr. Susan William Lockhart from Capriata Health and Wellness. They're going to say the name now. And we're talking women's health, right? And when she comes back, she's going to give some commentary on depression after having a baby.
Okay.
And of course, I want to go to the senior citizens, about 60 years of age. I want to do some commentary on that. But we'll be right back after this brief message.
One in every four people in the Bahamas face some level of food insecurity. Through our annual Feed 5000 program, AML Foods remains steadfast in our commitment to help those struggling with hunger and will donate 5,000 to provide holiday meals to families this Christmas. But we need your help. From November 14th to December 19th, show your support and donate at the register at any Solomon's, Costrite, Solomon's Fresh Market, Exuma Markets, or Domino's locations in New Providence, Grand Bahama, and Exuma. Together, let's put an end to hunger.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
A local paper in Grand Bahama is back every Tuesday as a section of the Nassau Guardian. Available at local stores, gas stations, pharmacies, Western Bakery, and Bellevue Gifts. Daily and, of course, on Tuesdays too. Want to reach your Grand Bahama audience? Then call Barefoot Marketing at 827-4578 or message them for ad rates via their Facebook page. Advertising opportunities now include classified ads too. Keep up with all the latest Grand Bahama news in the Guardian newspaper every Tuesday.
J.S. Johnson Insurance agents are the best. Reliable service, we've been on the scene, protecting since 1919. J.S. Johnson Insurance has the best. Always, you're always covering me. J.S. Johnson Insurance, peace of mind.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio and AM with C.A. Nuri. And I'm continuing this conversation with Dr. Lockhart, right? I want to talk about depression, right? Women just had their baby and something happens to them where they seem to be recluse, removed, you know? What happens?
So it's postnatal depression. Remember we had said that's something called postnatal depression, baby blues. Sometimes, again, some women do some strange things. You know, in the U.S., you have stories of women driving all the five children in the sea into the lake and drowning them.
Yeah, if you've seen then, that here in the Bahamas.
Yeah. And then afterwards, you know, you have those issues. So, again, having a baby is such a monumental change, no matter the age or stage that you are at. You know, it's just a change to your life and everything else. Having a baby, even going through the physical process, your body is like in this, how to put it, it's like in this engine, you know, whether you have the baby naturally, whether you have the baby via, operative intervention where they put you to sleep or give you an anesthetic. It is so many things. Your body is shifting and changing. You get bigger. Some people glow. Some people say, I'm glowing up. You know, there's a lot of different things you have. And then a lot depends upon the background on which this birth has come along. You know, do you have a partner? Was this a wanted baby? Is there a lot of support? What's the relationship like? What are the plans for taking care of another human being, another human person? Some of those things have to be considered because definitely they infect and they impact people. So I always say to people, consider it well. Where are you? What about your career and about your life? You know, with having a baby at this point in time significantly interrupt what you're trying to do and where you're trying to go, which is why I always say, you know, planning your life, trying to plan for women, especially at that stage and age, is important. But even having all those things perfect and sacrosanct, there's still some people who afterwards develop what we call the postnatal depression. For myself, I did. I went through that, especially with my second daughter. I remember that I felt as if I had hit a wall.
Mm-hmm.
I felt as if, you know, I couldn't do anything, couldn't think. I wasn't interested in much. You know, I know I love the baby. I know, you know, I love my husband. There were some things that were happening that were going on at the end of the day. And for some people, a lot of the time, and I commend, you know, my husband was a very caring person. He was the eldest of 11 kids, so he knew he had helped his mother with a lot of his younger brothers and sisters. So he was very supportive, very caring. I remember my mother-in-law came. We were living in the island of Andros at that time, and, you know, she took care of me. Hey, Mom, if you're listening, thanks, right? Mother Lockhart, Naomi Lockhart, mother-in-law by excellence. And she came and she cooked and she took care. And, you know, it was just a process of getting back to that point in time and talking to people. And for myself, you know, understanding that although I was a physician, I wasn't my own physician. And I needed help and intervention from some other people as well who were there to help and to take me through that point in time. You have to remember the hormones we talked about before. Those hormones, all of them are what I would call neurologically active. They affect and impact your feelings and your emotions. When a woman has a baby, there's a rush of a hormone called oxytocin. Oxytocin is very important because oxytocin has to help you attach or latch on to the baby, the feeling of, you know, that bonding. When the baby sucks on the breast and pulls on the breast, that there's a flush of oxytocin that actually helps the milk to be released from the breast, but also that has to help bond you to the baby as well. So there's many hormones that are going there and they're all acting on the brain. So it's like a chemical sort of minefield. And everybody's brain is in a different situation from before, all right? So some people, it may just be something that may be a bit mild, maybe a bit moderate at the end of the day, and they can get over it once you know, okay, that's happening and you have support. Some people may need to go seek, you know, psychological counseling, psychiatric intervention with medication, and so if they're not getting any better before they start to harm themselves or someone else. But it's not the person just being mean or moody or they don't care about the baby or, you know, no, that's something that is really there. And I think that needs to be recognized and treated if that does in fact happen.
So let's conclude with, in the last few minutes, the matured woman, 60 plus.
So now you should be into, you've made it through many things. The kids should be growing or getting ready to leave. You know, maybe your partner, your husband is there, maybe not there. And you have to start looking, okay, how are you going to make it down for the years? You're maybe getting ready to put down work and to pick up some of the activities. Maybe you want to travel, you want to do some of the things. So at this point in time, very, very, very important. Again, you have to make sure that you're screening for all of those different, you know, your cancer screenings, your breast mammogram and self-examination, your pap smear, colonic cancer now. So you should be having, somebody to look at your colon. We don't do colonoscopies big time here, but in the U.S. and other societies at age 40, that's when you're going to start dealing with that as well. We talked about menopause. So you're into menopause now. Some women, when they're going in, and I'll click back to that, you want to, again, have as many things that are going to help and support you. So good fats and vegetables, maybe some of the soy proteins and the isoflavones, you can get them. Citrus bioflavonoids, again, coming from certain foods, certain oils, such as evening primrose oil and borage oil are going to provide for you certain key fatty acids. Those are things that your body can't make, which help you regulate that process. So you want to have started that and continued on. Right now, may not need iron as much because, you know, you're not losing iron regularly. But what is key is your bones. So when you get into the situation of menopause, you have lost the protective effect. Estrogen actually protects your heart. You know, it does. It protects your blood vessels and your heart as well, right? And when you get to menopause and you lose that, that's when you find a lot more women are prone towards getting cardiovascular problems and heart attacks, right? Heart attacks and strokes. So you want to make sure you're taking your oils, you're doing a good situation in terms of your exercise, your walk in your cardiovascular system, bone health, right? As you get older as well, loss of estrogen means that the bones can become, you get osteoporosis, they become weaker, brittle. That's why when older women and people fall, they may end up having issues as well, right? So calcium, again, from time you're 30 years of age, you should be taking calcium supplements or being intentional about having that situation. So exercise is important, slight weight-bearing exercise, walking around, social interaction is important, community is immunity. And, you know, this is one of the things, you know, so many times you can start to feel isolated because you're shifting gears into stages. So whether you're in a group, you know, some people swim together. When I go Montague in the morning, there's this beautiful group of your older people. They swim together. They talk about the kids, the grandkids, what's happening, politics. There's a group at Goodman's Bay. So whatever it is, you got to find that sort of community and a way of structuring your life going down the road in the area right now.
I want to stop you there because you mentioned interaction, you mentioned community. And I'm thinking of those senior persons who had no children, right, who live by themselves. is it really important for them to have an interaction with?
Yeah, because you didn't have a child materially or physically doesn't mean you didn't have one, you know. A lot of people took care of a lot of people's, other people's kids, whether it was their relatives, their nieces, their nephews, or just people in the neighborhood. So they have those connections and bonds with them as well, too. And yes, it is so important, right? It was actually found that if you, it was actually found there's a study called the Blue Zone Study. People can go look it up. This guy looked for places where people live longest and were healthiest in the world. There are five zones. I think you have them in Japan, in Loma Linda, California, somewhere, another place in Italy, one place in Eastern Europe, right? And what they found was that people who lived in community together, people who had that sort of wide-ranging interaction across the generations, they did better, they lived longer. They didn't have all the issues and other situations that you would have if you did not have that as well. So it's so important, especially. So sometimes you have a community, family and friends are around. Sometimes you have to be intentional about going to find one. But that is so important and so key, especially for women. Because in the older stages, many of us are going to be, you know, going to be alone. I have to.
Yeah, we know women can be around. So you might be by yourself.
Yeah, I had to. And, you know, I appreciate that because I have a lot of friends who are single. I'm a person. I'm an extrovert. So I like people. I always want to know, like, what people are doing and what. So I was very grateful for my community of single friends and single mothers, either through divorce or themselves widowhood, who had to. They were able to help me. They said, Susan, this is what you have to do. This is what you do at this stage right now, you know, because I'm heading into that beautiful stage of 60 now, you know, mm-hmm. and a sort of freedom. And I think it's a great thing because for women, boy, you have to have your voice, you know. Many times we are squashed, and we didn't talk about it, but depression and mental health issues affect and impact women slightly differently to those of how it affects and impacts men, right? Women have a lot of issues with depression and anxiety. Sometimes it's the feeling from a social perspective, you may be in a relationship that may not be the best, it may be abusive. How are you going to talk? Where is your voice? You may be at work, and just because of how situations develop, you may not be given the opportunities as if a man may do so. I could tell you as a female who trained as a surgeon and worked in the hospital, that definitely is the case. Some women are in situations where they're being sexually harassed at work, right? Some women have to make difficult choices, especially in the economic downturn times. If you don't have a skill, and a lot of women lost their jobs, they were cleaners at the hotel and other things, then what are you going to do to make that money, to pay that rent, to take care of those kids? So all these things can have an effect and an impact upon your mental health as well, too, right? So, you know, I think a lot of it has to do with you, first of all. You have to have value in yourself, that you are valuable, you have a contribution to make. And as much as you can, you sit down and you make a plan as to how you're going to progress forward. And health, as I said, the physical health we talked about, I always say, and the book is coming, people, oh goodness, it is, the five flows of health. But there's the physical part of the health. That's the food and nutrition that you take in. That's your fitness and your exercise. But there's also your family and your friends that we talked about. For women, and a key point is your finances. You know, what's your money like? Is your money going to be good, especially after COVID? Mm-hmm. And lastly is your faith and what you believe in and for yourself and where you're going to develop. So all those things, we tend to focus just on the physical part and the medicine and the disease part, but all those things are important.
And before we go, Doc, where can we find you again?
So again, Capriata Health and Wellness, we are concierge, mobile health and wellness provider. We're going to have an office setting soon. We'll advertise that. But online, you can search me on Google Me. You can search me on Instagram or on Facebook as well. My number is 806-0199. Either call me or send me a text message on Facebook. We provide procedures. We provide infusions. We do second opinions. So, you know, give us a call. We can just have a chat.
And concierge means that you come to the house, basically.
Yeah, I come to the house with you or find mm-hmm. you where you are, mm-hmm. right? That's the thing.
That's good. Okay, this has been Guardian Radio in the AM, and we were talking women health today in general. But again, we'll see you next week. Thank you very much, Doc. I appreciate you coming. That's Dr. Okay. Suzanne Williams-Lockhart.
Thank you so much. See you. Have a great day, everybody. Okay. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.